every person has two gifts to offer, presence and difference. Just by showing up here today, you are bringing your presence and you're bringing your unique difference. You are doing something nobody else can do.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Here Love with Melinda Esterbrooks, Season 10, Episode Number 8.
Welcome to See Here Love on our show about belonging. And I have two great guests with me to help me understand and learn more about this gift of belonging. Jasmine Duckworth, welcome. Jasmine has been serving with Caris Disability Services, formerly Christian Horizons, since 2004 and has been disabled herself since 2015. As part of her role as a community development manager, she often speaks with churches and community groups about disability, accessibility, ableism, and belonging. Jasmine works closely with self-advocates as they work to improve Caris Disability Services, the developmental service sector, and the broader community. She is a mom, a wife, and an obsessive knitter. And the last show you were on, I talked about that sweater was your favorite thing that you made. What's the most unique thing? Like, do you do toques and other things too? Or
I knitted a saddle blanket for my brother's horse.
Okay. I have never heard that before. Next time you come on the show, you need to bring that. But welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Thanks.
Back again. And Chantel Hunink, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Yes. You are a motivational speaker, author, and social justice advocate, as well as a regional counselor in Waterloo, Ontario, working with your staff and council colleagues on issues that include affordable housing, sustainable and accessible public transit, and the provision of upstream resources that promote safety for all. Welcome.
A key difference between Jasmine and I don't knit.
I don't knit either. Maybe we need to have a knitting course next time that we're all together here.
Sounds good.
So the theme today, we're talking about belonging today. Now, the question I have, is that the same as inclusion or is there a difference? Chantel.
So author John Swinton makes a key distinction here. He says that inclusion means we'll make space for you if you're physically present, where belonging means that we will miss you if you're not there and we will actually go looking for you. And I would deepen that to say that I think belonging happens when the gifts and contributions of individual people are valued by the communities around them.
That's good. That's good. And I like that distinction because, I mean, for our season here at See Here Love, the focus is belonging. You know, we're going across Canada with our You Belongs, you know, conferences because we've been hearing from women especially that they need belonging.
And I feel like I belong here today because my perspective is being valued. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, it's a pleasure and an honor to have you both here. I know too, Jasmine, that you have a further example of what that means as far as belonging.
Yeah, we have a graphic. It's going to be up on the screen. This is from Eric Carter from some work that he did. I believe this graphic came out in 2019. And I use this when I talk to churches a lot, and we work all the way through from exclusion to integration, segregation, integration, inclusion, and belonging. Today, I'll just talk about the last two images. So in the inclusion image, we can see that everybody is together in the community, but you can see that some of the dots are gray and some of them are colored. So you can still kind of tell who really belongs and who's a guest in the space. So being together and being like included in space is not the same as belonging, because in the belonging image, we see that there's no differentiation between us and them. Everybody is a brightly colored dot in this illustration, just like every person is their own unique self as they come in and bring their own gifts. And so you've got a more vibrant sense of connection between everyone. And then the other difference in this illustration between inclusion and belonging, in inclusion, everybody has to be in that one circle. They have to have conformed to the main community in order to belong. But in the belonging one, we see pockets of belonging happening wherever the people are. And the idea being that you should be able to belong no matter who you are or where you are. And so we want to, the inclusion is not bad.
Okay.
You know,
that's
nothing against.
That was a question I was going to ask.
And sometimes that's all we can do.
Okay.
But when we can, let's strive for belonging.
So in the language, even in our workplaces, in our churches, I know that we talk about inclusion. Let's be inclusive. That is a culture right now. That's what we say. It sounds to me what you're saying for both of you is that we need to go the next step and say creating spaces of belonging.
Exactly. I would say that inclusion is a necessary step, possibly prior to belonging.
Belonging. Okay. That's a good visual. It's like inclusion, but then we're really wanting belonging. Mm-hmm. Okay. Excellent. So in that, how do we create spaces then of belonging for all people, especially people who have been marginalized? I guess that would be the next step, the next question.
We move the margins.
Wait, we move the margins.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what you see in that illustration, is that belonging is happening outside of that main community circle. But John Swinton, who Chantel already quoted from, he's a disability theologian, he talks about this. And he says that Jesus actually did this really well. He moved the margins. And there's so many examples in Scripture, but my favorite one is the story of Zacchaeus. If you grew up in Sunday school, you know the song. You know Zacchaeus was a wee little man up in a tree.
I got that, just so you know. I was like a wee little girl, and I was always climbing trees, so I connected with Zacchaeus so much.
Yeah. So Jesus sees Zacchaeus up in the tree, and he's on the edges. He's on the margins. He's not being able to fully participate. Traditional inclusion would say, well, come down and be part of the crowd. But Jesus knows Zacchaeus. He knows the crowd. He knows it's probably not going to work well because Zacchaeus can't see when he's down in the crowd. And also, it's probably not going to be welcomed because he was a tax collector and he would have been one of those dots that maybe was in the group but really stood out and didn't really belong. So instead, Jesus says, I'm going to come to your house. He moves the margins. And Jesus is the party, right? Like, Jesus is the life of the party. And so when he goes to Zacchaeus' house, now Zacchaeus is at the center of a new party. Right? Zacchaeus then can fully belong. He's in a space that he's comfortable with. He's connecting with Jesus. He's, he's at the center instead of being on the edges. So instead of making Zacchaeus move in, Jesus moved out and met him where he was at. And that's how we create belonging.
And you had said, how do we create belonging for all people? And I think belonging for all people is the long-term mission of Christians everywhere. I think that is what we're working towards. But I don't think we create belonging for all people at exactly the same time. I think we need to create belonging by looking at each individual person and seeing where their purpose is, where they're the best place that their gifts can be honored, utilized. It would be.
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting processing and learning. And that is a big call to the church, because the church is always like, come to us, come to our building, come to a Sunday service. Listen, I love the church. But what you're saying, when I hear you say about Jesus, he went to them. He went to their space, their home, their place of comfort. Whereas when you think about people, it's like you're coming to our place where it's uncomfortable. They don't know the rhythms of, say, church or our own home. But you're saying actually when we move the margins, it's actually going to the people.
And I think you've just paraphrased Luke 14, which is go out to the alleys and the byways and find the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind.
So yeah, that's exactly. Good. And that's what you're saying as far as belonging. Now, I know that you have three principles that we can learn from the story of Zacchaeus. And I know the first one is sit with people as they are. Expand on that.
Yeah, again, this all comes from John Swinton. Sit with people as we are. We see Jesus do that. He sat with people as they were. He didn't require them to change to start a relationship with them. So he sat with Zacchaeus. He sat with Mary Magdalene. He connected with people right away and built relationship first.
Jasmine, can I interrupt? It's so hard, though, because what if the people are not like us, or we don't like them, or it's uncomfortable to be around them? How, and we want them to change because it will be better for them. It's easy to say, but then when you're like there, it's not so easy to do.
Yeah. And I hear this with churches all the time. I often talk to churches. They'll have me come in because maybe they have some kids in their Sunday school programs who are on the autism spectrum or have ADHD, and they're trying to navigate how do we help these children to belong in the structure of our programs. And I've seen some really beautiful solutions where they'll set up a buddy program and they'll ask people to sit with that child and do an activity that's meaningful to that child, because they've realized what really matters is the child coming to church and knowing that they're loved by God, right?
Yes.
That they're seen, heard, and loved by God.
Yes.
And you feel that by being seen, heard, and loved by God's people.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And
yes.
so there was this one church, they had a young boy who was really struggling in Sunday school. And so an older gentleman in the church had built a wooden marble maze, and the boy loved it. And so they would sit together in the hall and they would play that during the Sunday school time. And some people maybe would struggle with that because he's not getting the programming, but it's not about programming. It's right. about the person. That boy felt seen, heard, and loved. And then he could go back into the congregation and have hugs and coffee, and you know, like, he was fully part of his community, and he really connected with God through this alternative way that they found to sit with him as he was.
That's good. So start building relationships without asking people to change, and then going into valuing each person as an image bearer of God. Big. Because we don't see that. We say, this is the image bearer of God. This is what that person looks like.
Well, and I think all too often when we read the stories of Jesus healing people in the Bible, we think that he did that for every person and that he's going to do that today. And it's not that Jesus can't do that today, but it's that healing people in ancient biblical times meant a lot more than restoring them physically. It meant restoring them to community and a place of work and a place of value. And today we don't need to cure someone physically in order to value them.
Oh. Okay. So I'm having these moments that I'm literally going, no, it's powerful because, you know, again, in all transparency, it's that, you know, when we do pray when somebody has an illness or a disability, it's like, let's pray for that to be gone or to be cured. But you're just saying, actually, the prayer is restoration into, and I know in an earlier show we did it, into self-acceptance and restoration into community and belonging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, it's different ways to pray. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, again, it's like moving the margins of even prayer. Like, we pray this way, yeah. we've been taught or told, but we actually need to move it to this way.
Joni and Friends talks about how curing is about restoring someone's physical body, and healing is about restoring their relationship to God and community. And
wow.
healing is what matters to God and what should matter to his people.
And that's the show, folks. We are done. That powerful. That is such a good shift. And I like that we're moving margins of how we thought or we've been told how to pray and think. And you're helping me move it to say, whoa. And I've never heard that example of cure and healing ever. So that's a big aha moment. Wow. Beautiful. The second principle, thank you, Jasmine, is see all as gift. And I love that. It's funny because in our pre-production meeting, we thought it was like see all people as a gift, and we're trying to fill it in. But see all as gift. Talk to me about that. What does that look like and mean?
So Judith Snow was a disability advocate and author, and she said that everything is a gift. Walking is a gift, but not walking is also a gift. Reading is a gift, not reading is a gift. So we actually have a story about that one specifically, reading and not reading as a gift, and other gifts in that. Do you want to?
You can go for it. I'll fill it in.
Okay. So during the pandemic, my daughter was in her Sunday school class was doing a kids book club about a book about a girl with cerebral palsy. It's called Out of My Mind. It just came out as a Disney movie recently. Okay. Anyways, I was going to be reading this with her, and I was telling Chantel, who I worked with, about this just because I thought, you know, she'd find it interesting. And she's like, that sounds good. I want to read that book. If you're going to read it to your daughter, can you put me on Zoom and read it out loud so I can hear too? Because I can read a paper book. And
I knew that if I was going to absorb that literature, which I love to do, that I would need to do it in an auditory way.
Okay.
And community sounded really good to me. So especially in the age of COVID and online learning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I said, sure. And then she had the idea to bring in another friend of ours who also has cerebral palsy. And so it ended up being the four of us. My daughter and I would take turns reading out loud, and Chantel and our other friend would be listening and then would interject their comments all the way through about how they related to what was happening to the character. And it was so beautiful for me to get to know you and our other friend better that way, and for my daughter to get to learn from the both of you. Because you brought your gifts of experience and how you related to this character who had a similar bodily experience. Like, it was such a rich reading circle. And then we ended up going on to read multiple other books. And it was a reading circle that took us through the multiple years of isolation of the pandemic.
I will say that it took a lot longer to get through that book because we liked to talk a lot.
I can see that here.
If you were concerned about speed, we wouldn't have got through it, right? And so maybe part of being accessible is being willing to change the pace a little bit when necessary.
you know, what I'm hearing as I'm processing is what a gift. Because if all of us could read, we wouldn't need each other to read for us and to have Zoom meetings and build community and have intergenerational connection with your daughter, you and Chantal and the other person. Like, that's the gift.
Well, and
that's the belonging.
When I work with people, my background is counseling and also spiritual care. When I work with people, they would often talk to me about how scary it is to be vulnerable. And that was always surprising or shocking to me, because my experience has been that, you know, I'm relying on PSWs for every personal care thing imaginable. And what that means is, in the space of 1 or 2 weeks of getting to know me, a lot of people are also performing really intimate care with me. And so not only do I view that as an extension of God's love and care for me, but also it automatically deepens the relationship that much further, because I am so intimately known, right? And so I would say that vulnerability is the key to deepening a lot of relationships. And I'm sorry that it scares a lot of people.
Yeah, so, and vulnerability does scare, because it opens yourself to all the stuff about you, the intimate things, the things that might be in the shadows, the secrets, the physical things, the emotional, mental things, the spiritual struggles.
Yeah.
And that's how belonging, I believe, really happens. It's even for me, when I've had to, in my own life, open up about the stuff, it was scary, because it's like, I want to front. I want to manage this and look shiny and happy and everything's good. But when you start moving into vulnerability, your friendship deepens, your relationship with God deepens, and yourself as a woman, it's like you're fully becoming alive. And I've used the word before, and not diminished or small, but alive and feeling worthy and of value. So all of us on that journey.
And once you get the scariness out of the way and realize that people and God love you anyway,
yes,
it's liberating.
Yes, and if people don't love you, I'm like, I'm not going to manage that. I know who I am. I have the people who love me. Oh, wow.
So all is gift, right?
Yes.
Reading, not reading, vulnerability, boldness to ask for what you need. All of it is gift. You just need to find the right context most of the time.
Sometimes it really frustrates me that I'm using a screen reader to read counsel packages, because they're long and it takes me a number of hours. And it would be easier for me if I could just skim the packages. But because of the fact that I'm listening to every word and absorbing every word, I often pick up on little details that other people don't. So even the little frustrating parts of my limitations and the technology that I need to use are a gift as well.
It's good. You also mentioned the gift of presence and difference, which is what you're saying about the reading and not reading. But I think that's powerful.
Yeah, so that's Judith Snow again. She talked about everything is a gift. And at the very least, every person has two gifts to offer, presence and difference. Just by showing up here today, you are bringing your presence and you're bringing your unique difference. You are doing something nobody else can do. No one else can sit here and be Melinda, right? Only you can do that. That's a gift you're offering to us. And you're providing half of a meaningful interaction. And then the other people get to bring their presence and difference to be the other half of that meaningful interaction. Do I have a minute to tell a story?
Yes, yes.
So my favorite illustration of this comes from years ago at Caris. We had our founder, Jim Reese. He started Christian Horizons, then Caris now, back in 1965. And he came to a manager's conference, and he was talking about how he used to swim laps, and he would pray for his kids, and he would pray for their spouses and for the grandchildren. And then he would pray for his one son, Stephen. And Stephen lived in a Christian Horizons home at the time. And he was thinking, it's kind of too bad that it's just Stephen. Like, I only have Stephen to pray for, because he didn't have a spouse and children. And then he thought, well, I can pray for his roommates. I can pray for the staff that support him. I can pray for his friends. I can pray for the other staff. And then he realized that actually, as part of Stephen's legacy, he could pray for all the employees and all the people that Caris has been touching, which is tens of thousands of people around the world. And so I love that story, because when Stephen was born as a little baby, newborns, if you have kids, you know they don't come with very many gifts. They have a lot of needs, not very many gifts, especially a baby with disabilities could be seen as having less gifts. But he had the gift of presence and difference, and he offered half of a meaningful interaction. And how his parents chose to partner with him provided the other half of that meaningful interaction, and together they've had a massive impact on the world.
Wow.
Everybody has gifts to bring. You just need to see them.
Thanks be to God for the Reese family and for their example of dependence on God.
Yeah. But I love the gift of presence and difference. Again, I've never heard that. like this gift of presence, I've heard a bit, but the gift of difference is not what I've heard. And I love that because I think, again, it's like we need each other. Mm-hmm. We need one another, you know, to read, to write, to see, to do a show, to work with churches, to work with advocates. Like we need one another to fulfill what I believe, like what God is calling us to do mm-hmm.
and
in this world.
Acknowledging presence and difference also leads to reciprocity. You know, I will never support my personal care attendants in the way that they support me. I'm not going to help them get dressed. I'm not going to help them make a meal and so on and so forth. But I am going to talk with them about how their lives are going and pay attention to their spiritual, social, and emotional needs and support and encourage when I can.
Yeah, it's good. The third principle is practice guesting and hosting. What does that look like? What does that mean? Because for guesting and hosting, like we have like a guesting coordinator here. I love hosting parties, you know. But what does that
yeah,
mean?
Come to your parties.
Yes. Now that we're really good friends now that you've been on the show twice, party time.
Thank you.
Just like how Jesus, you know, how he was brought the party. Practice guesting and hosting. What does that mean in regards to belonging?
So we see Jesus do this, right? So Jesus hosted, he fed 5,000 people at once. Like none of us can throw that kind of a dinner party. Jesus was the ultimate.
I wish. I would love to do that.
He was the ultimate host, but mm-hmm. he also practiced guesting. He went into people's homes. He taught his apostles, when you go, don't take anything with you, but rely on the kindness and the generosity of the people there. Because he knows that when we are always only ever hosting, then we are... it can set up a hierarchy in the relationship. Okay. There can be you want the reciprocity, the humility of being a guest in somebody's space. And so Jesus practiced hosting, but he also practiced guesting really well and going into people's homes and allowing them to serve him and to host him.
But what if it's uncomfortable? Like a lot of people are like, I don't want to go to somebody else's home because of their own rituals and routines, the food, the way. And so it's safer at my house.
I don't think we're strictly talking about someone's home. I know for myself, like there's many homes that I can't get to because they're not accessible. But we're talking about the need to practice reciprocity in relationships. And so in some ways, Jasmine gives to me. In other ways, I give to Jasmine. And they're not the same ways. Because as you so lovingly stated a few moments ago, if we all could do the same things, we wouldn't really need each other.
Right. So it's not just like homes. I'm just saying that in the way of this reciprocity, I think, for workplaces, churches, neighborhoods, myself, my own family, I think thinking about the guesting mm-hmm. and the hosting. Yeah. You know, I'm just trying to get my head around it and process it.
So I've got an example. When the pandemic hit, there's this group of self-advocates I work with at Caris called Our Voices Matter. They're all people that use Caris services, and they meet every 2 weeks, and it was in person. And then the pandemic hit, and it had to go online to Zoom. And a Zoom meeting is much harder than an in-person meeting because there's no, like, food and other things to, like, fill your time. It's just faces on a screen. And so at the beginning, I had to really kind of, like, take the lead and, like, teach them, you know, how to use Zoom and how do we have this meeting and kind of help it flow. But as we've been meeting together now for 4 years, I have moved from being the one hosting those Zoom calls to being a guest. So as soon as someone else comes on the call, I hand over Zoom controls to her so that she can let her friends in. And I, you know, will set up the call and then I'll go make myself a tea. And they greet each other, they host each other. And as the group has gone on, as it should be, I am becoming a guest in their space because it is their group and I'm only there as a staff to support them. Mm-hmm. And it's so wonderful for them to be able to be the leaders. And I feel so, I just feel so much grace that I'm allowed to step into their space and listen to their conversations and that they're vulnerable with me. And so, you know, they're not physically hosting me. I'm still the one making the Zoom link, but it's taking that posture of I'm going to sit and listen and learn. Like you've been doing with us all day. You keep saying, I'm learning. I'm mm-hmm. here to listen, right? Like you're hosting us, but you're also giving us a lot of agency and control in this conversation. And I feel like you're doing
but you're also giving a lot of grace to me. Like I feel very comfortable that like I haven't said the right things, or I've kind of like misconstrued a few things, but you both have been so gracious to me as I'm learning, you know, about this, about belonging, about people with disabilities, and that this is so rich for me, but right. also I feel safe that I can come to you and ask these questions and feel like you're not going to be like, you know.
But that's that reciprocity.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So this is great to actually demonstrate the reciprocity of how this can be.
And I think some of the vulnerability of guesting rather than hosting is the ability to relinquish the control and the willingness to receive the gifts of others. Jasmine, when we were discussing this, we had talked about how bold I was to say, like, hey, can you read that to me? But how gracious it was for you to be like, sure. You know, there would have been a lot of people that would have been afraid to say sure or not wanting to be inconvenienced in that way. But if you just let things happen and see what comes out of it, it can be really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So good. We're going to take a pause because I think we're going to need some prayer. You know, as you're listening to this conversation and you may be struggling spiritually, mentally, physically, you're listening in, or maybe you don't feel like you have a place of belonging, you're feeling alone, disconnected, and you need someone to pray with you, to listen to you, well, we have someone who will listen and pray for you today, during this show, and even after, because we are here for you. We want to help you. We want to create a space of belonging for you. So here's how you can connect with someone who cares and is ready to listen.
I've been fighting depression for years, and some days are harder than others. Your prayers are helping me find peace and a glimmer of hope. You were there for me, renewing my mind with the Word of God.
Well, I'm so glad we have this support for our viewers and listeners, because we know, as we've been talking today, prayer is so important for all of us, and listening to people and creating spaces of belonging so important. So please call our prayer lines 24/7. Okay, last question of the show, even though I'd love for the show to go on forever. We've talked about how others can create spaces of belonging and that belonging is a gift, but I want to ask the two of you, where are you creating belonging where you are?
So I'll start with myself. I pray for opportunities for myself to both serve as guest and serve as host, going back to our earlier theme. And I pray that for other people too. And I would hope that our viewers today are also encouraged to pray for guesting and hosting, and particularly graciousness around when you are the guest, right? How willing are you to receive the gifts of others? In my work at Region of Waterloo, I'm not only working to remove physical and structural and systemic barriers, but looking to find places of employment and places of valued contributions for people of varying abilities and disabilities who can know that their skills and their abilities and their obstacles that they face and the ways that they've become resilient to those obstacles all serve various purposes.
Amazing. You are a gift, Chantel. Thank you. Thank you for the good work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jasmine.
So I have a weekly craft night that I host at my house, and I've been doing this for, I think, about 16 years. We had to take a big break for the pandemic, but that's a place that I try to create a space of belonging. I usually just send out a message on my Facebook each week saying, if anybody wants to come, bring your knitting, crochet, whatever craft project, and we just sit around. I always provide tea and snacks. And what I found is if you belong to a church, it's easy to find small groups and to get that intimate friendship. But for a lot of my friends who don't go to church, that's something that they crave. And even for my friends with church, sometimes, you know, if you're a pastor's wife, you don't feel like you can be vulnerable at your own church. So it's just an alternative space for people with all different backgrounds. We have multiple different race, religion, backgrounds. We have people who crochet, even though I knit, you know, they're still welcome.
Yeah.
But that's how I try.
Beautiful. You are a gift. You are a gift.
Our non-knitters, welcome to your party.
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome. Yes. All right. Well, we got to close up the show. Thank you so much, Jasmine and Chantel, for being with us. And thank you for joining us. All the information is on seehearlove.com. And always know that you are seen, you are heard, and you are deeply loved by God. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See, Hear, Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See, Hear, Love because of these generous sponsors, Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.